Okay, anyway, I think we should make a start. It's 5 minutes after the hour here, I think hopefully some of our GAC colleagues will join the call in due course. I've just texted Frank March and hope that he'll join us because we do have an agenda item for them. Anyway, on with the meeting. I have circulated the agenda for this meeting. I've received no requests for changes and so on. So unless there's any suggestions of a change, can we consider the agenda approved? And Christina, can you give us the apologies and those present on the call?
Sure. From the CCNSO, we have Hugo Akiri, Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Stephen Deerhaek, Daniel Kelcher, Patricia Poblete, Nigel Roberts, and from liaisons we have Cheryl Langan-Orr. From staff support and special advisors, we have Jap Ackerhuis, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. And apologies from Bart Boswinkle, Paulus Nyarenda, and Dottie Sparks-Blunt. That's it.
Thank you, Christina. Any further apologies received by anyone? Any one on the call whose name wasn't called? If not, we'll consider that the apologies and a list of those present. Moving on to item three on the agenda, we had a slight amendment to the 17th of May meeting notes, which was to delete the word revocation and 1591. So that was amended, and the minutes or the meeting notes for the 24th of May meeting were also circulated. And I don't think there's anything of any surprise there. Does anyone have any comments about either of those meeting notes? If not, we'll consider those two sets of meeting notes agreed and move on to item four on the agenda, revocation. We've got a revised version of the revocation document, version 1.3. I see the red line version is up on screen. So, Bernie, do you want to talk us through, I think initially talk us through the changes that we agreed to last week, and then we didn't make it all the way through the document, so if we can pick up where we left off and work our way through the rest of the document. And I think unless we have the GAC folks arriving on the call at some stage, then we can dedicate all of this meeting really to the topic of revocation and make as much progress as we can. So please, Bernie, take us through.
Thank you, sir. Yes, we're getting the hang of this to actually put up red lines properly. So I've tried to insert notes as we go along. And the first real part is the relevant procedures. We have the IANA stuff in there. And so that was section 4, and that was removed, which, of course, forced the whole document to be renumbered. So, as requested, section 4, that section was removed, and now analysis of IANA reports on redelegation is section 4. There are no changes there, and we move right on to section 5. 5.1, we're okay. 5.2, I will bring up my own copy to make sure because there are some comments. So give me a second. Okay. Documents and take it along.
Bernie, we can hardly hear you, and Martin has his hand raised. Nigel has his hand raised, so Nigel.
Well, while Bernie's looking at that, I'm looking at the last paragraph that's on the page in front of me, which is currently called 5.2.2.1.
My turn not to hear Nigel at all.
Some people might think that that's not a bad thing.
I seem to know where you're at.
Okay, if I speak up, can you hear me better?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I'm currently looking at the last paragraph on the page in front of me, which is 5.2.2.1. And I agree with what it says, although in one respect, I don't understand how you can have something more than revocation, which effectively is the ultimate intervention. And I've just been thinking...
I'm going to back us up to 5.2.1, if that's okay. I've got a few notes which actually don't show up in the red line, and I'm just going to read them to make sure we're all synced up, if that's okay with you.
Okay, go ahead.
So on 5.2.1.1 from 24 May meeting, Becky will review Nigel's proposed text to see if they can agree on the proposal to the group, is what the note that was in the text. And we haven't gotten that, so that's essentially the way it was pretty much from the beginning. So that's section 5.2.11. And Becky, are you going to have a chance to look at that before we get to Prague?
Yes, indeed I am, and that's why I asked you to send it to me in Word.
Okay, great, thank you. My next note was on 5.2.21. The proposed change in V1.2 was accepted, so the text that we see there is the new text and what's okay. The proposed text in V1.2 for 5.2.22 was accepted, and that's the new text there. Same thing for 5.2.23 and 5.2.24 and 5.2.25. So they were all minor amendments, but they've all been made. If we move on, and you were in 5.2.2, I believe, Nigel, so I'll take your comments now.
I'm actually looking at, again, the last paragraph that's in its entirety on the current page, which is 5.2.2.1.
Yes.
And I agree with... You're moving it now. I agree with it, but I'm thinking about this, that revocation is the ultimate sanction, if you like. It's the highest sanction. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm talking about the definition of stepping in. Because stepping in could be something short of revocation, such as we talked about the providing of practical assistance by the IANA function to a struggling CCTLD. But it could be revocation and something else. So it could be revocation plus stepping in to provide an emergency registry. And I don't think that quite expresses that. I'm just wondering if we could put a gloss on this that potentially includes something along those lines.
If everyone is comfortable with that, that's fine. My original intention was simply to point out that step in should not be equivocated with revocation only.
Then perhaps we want to express... See, I have a... philosophical problem with more than revocation, because revocation seems to be the last step, as it were.
Okay, I understand your problem. I think I can work on that.
Sure. I mean, there we go.
Now I understand your concern, yes. Meaning something above revocation when using the word more. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Noted. Okay. So, going back to this document, I read the notes that took us to 5.2.2.5, which, as far as I'm concerned, I've included the changes that were requested. Is your hand still up, Nigel?
I thought I'd just put it down.
On my screen, it's still up.
Is it down now?
You are down, Nigel. You are down. That is confirmed. Going on to Section 5.2.3, Substantial Misbehavior. I'll read the notes since they don't show up. We have new proposed text for 5.2.3.1, and you have it up on the screen in red line. Actually, blue line, but we all understand. The only requirements prescribed for the manager in RSC 1591, bracket beyond those in Section 3.5, which will be dealt with in another section, are. So does that, I believe that was Nigel's concern. And does that handle that properly?
It seems to have upset the dog, whosever's dog it is.
That's my dog. I must apologize for that. She hears Nigel too often and she gets cranky.
In common with people.
So, Nigel, while you have the floor, are you happy with that text as it stands? For 5.2.3.1. Beautiful.
Okay. I will go back to the notes in Section 5.2.3. And we're good for a little while. And we go all the way to 52.3.22. And I don't have any other notes before that point. So, I've expanded quoted text given recent discussions. So, there is a manager that supervises the domain names and operates the domain name system in that country. So I had originally cut that quote short. There were some comments relative to that. I have added the longer section of that quote from the original text. Is that okay now?
Bernie, I still have a bit of a problem with this and operates the domain name system. I kind of think that's an obligation on a manager that doesn't actuate. You know, the domain name system is more than operating the zone file for the ccTLD. It's operating the equivalent of a root server, the IP address allocations, the conversion to IPv6, etc.
Sir, in this section is just a summary of the quoted text from RFC 1591 or a compaction. I don't think we're trying to assist in this section. We actually try and beat it up in the next section, and I think there we can have some discussions about it.
Okay.
So, any other comments on Section 5232 and its subpoints, which is, as I've just stated, a repackaging of coded text from RFC 1591? I don't hear anything, and I don't see anything, and I wouldn't expect too much from that. So, let's move on to 5233, where there is a discussion of points. I'll go back to my version here, so I can look at the comments and read them out. So 5233.1, designated manager for domain, is that it be able to carry out necessary responsibilities and have the ability to do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. And we're back to having to, the working group having to provide an interpretation of what this means. Under that, there's 5233.11, and following the comments from our last call, I've tried a new approach. I don't know if it's going to work, but I've tried to sort of gather up what was presented, and let's take advantage of it while we've got Nigel here and Becky, and see if it works or not. So under that, you've got the text in front of you in 5233.11. a designated manager for a domain is that it be able to carry out the necessary responsibilities.
Should that not be a requirement or something like that?
All right. I'll correct that. Okay. Let me note that one. I misquoted 523311. So under that 111, what are the necessary responsibilities? And 12 must be able to carry out as it applies to each necessary responsibility. So those are not statements. They're just questions, I guess, we're going to have to answer, or that's what I'm proposing to present in that point. So is it okay? So this is not something that's going to go in the final text, but rather is to help us focus our attention so we can deliver some input. Is that okay for everyone? 52, 33, 111, and 112.
I'm looking.
Oh, Nigel gave me a tick. Thank you, Nigel. Becky?
Yes.
Two ticks. Nigel and Becky, those are two big ticks, right? Okay. Moving on to 523312, where we are at, and have the ability to do an adequate, an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. So that's just a quote from the above text. So we move on to 523121. Have the ability to do, useful in selecting the manager. Does the expectation carry on to actually doing these things once selected, if I remember the conversation? And then I've brought this up to 1211. Have the ability to, applicable to a designated manager versus prospective manager, meaning if the manager is a company that is bankrupt, are they able to do anything? Question mark again. So from what I remember of the conversation, there was something about there's an extension of an expectation. I remember there was some conversation between Nigel and Becky saying that it would seem that it should carry on, and I'll put it out to Becky and Nigel to see if this is a good question to have under this.
I guess my view is that that it would seem that it should carry over, that it goes beyond selection.
Okay, so
can I now say what my initial view is? My view is the words don't achieve what Becky thinks they achieve, and that's partly what the language that we are debating, or rather Becky's reviewing what I've written, is meant to address.
That is correct.
Now, I realize that I'm in probably the minority on this, so I'm not going to die in a ditch over it. So the language that I've proposed to Becky really tends to cover that. All I would like that language to do is to address the fact that the tenses and the way this is written is all focused on the choice of manager. It says nothing, either for or against, the idea of there being an ongoing supervisory role of the owner over the performance of the manager. It simply says, have the ability to do a just and honest and equitable role. So the expectation is that the person, when they start doing it, is fair, just, honest, and equitable. Now, there's two possible alternatives that flow from this. One is that having created a CCTLD, it is the local community, the local structure, that then has complete and utter responsibility for it, and the IANA doesn't have the ability to step in again. That's the equivalent of, a creation and a complete gift. The other interpretation, which is the one I suspect is preferred by a majority of the group, is that there has to be a reserve prerogative power if, in the case, for example, of abandonment. So short of actual revocation, if the CCTLD was abandoned, the IANA could perform a caretaker role. I just think the language says one thing, but we all tend towards something that the language doesn't quite address explicitly. And all I'm seeking to do is to cover that possibility and say that, on balance, if you like, the group agreed what it agreed, rather than to simply say the unanimous view of the group was X, when I don't think it's as straightforward as that. I think Becky knows what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I mean, I still come out in a different place because I just can't read this language without inferring the continuing obligation, but I do recognize the construction that Nigel's pointing out is possible.
You just think I'm wrong.
Well, number three says the designated manager must be equitable to all groups in the domain that request domain names. This means that the same rules are applied to all requests, and all requests are processed in a non-discriminatory fashion. I can't read that as a sort of something that's about the initial choice.
I think that's also correct, and I think that lots of things that you see are purely looking at the time of selection, and others do give that feel of an ongoing thing. So I don't think it's cut and dried, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about it.
Right.
I just like to express the fact that it's possible.
Right. And I think we're okay on that.
Yeah.
Pardon? I mean, it's definitely not it is not a model of crystal clearness.
All right, thank you, Becky and Nigel. I see Martin has his hand up.
Thanks, Bernie. I actually have some difficulties with the interpretation that Nigel's putting onto it, mainly because I actually find it completely and utterly illogical to have criteria for selection that you then do not take as being a requirement for the operation. It just doesn't make sense to say, well, okay, I'm going to choose somebody who can act fairly and justly and honestly. Well, we all can, but then if the person runs it as a criminal outfit, he's not being equitable, just, or honest. He might be competent, but I think there would be quite a mismatch between expectations and actually what was being delivered. So I really cannot live with Nigel's interpretation.
I don't think I'm saying that it's the interpretation that I'm insisting on. I think it's not as strong as that. I think Becky knows how I'm trying to express this.
Yeah, and I think that where we end up when Nigel and I sort of is on balance, it is sensible to assume that there is an ongoing responsibility.
I think those are my words. You've stolen them.
Yes, exactly.
So that's what
we agree on.
You're saying we will end up at a place that is agreeable, and
I think that will also meet what Martin is suggesting, because I think we all do end up in the same place about what a sensible outcome is, even if
our reasons for getting there are a little different.
Grammatically.
Yeah. Would that be okay, as long as the end result is okay for you, Nigel, although we have noted that you don't agree with Nigel's interpretation?
I think you meant Martin.
Martin, sorry. Yes.
if we get to the reading of that as being a continued expectation that the person does an equitable, just, honest and competent job, then if Nigel insists on a particular reading grammatically, then I'm prepared to accept.
All right. I'll assume that by the time we finish getting the final text, that we've got a general hope of being in agreement. That's how I'm going to take this at this point. Would that be okay with you, Mr. Chair?
Yep. Fine. Thanks, Benny.
All right. I did not hear you very well, but I'm going to carry on assuming you thought that was a great idea. In the next section, which is 5233.122, equitable and just should be considered together, question mark. And under that, we've got the Oxford Dictionary, equitable equals fair and impartial, and the Oxford Dictionary, just, based on behaving according to what is morally right and fair, well-founded, justifiable. Is the equitable part of this covered by Section 3.3 of RFC 1591, the designated manager must be equitable to all groups in the domain that request domain names? So I was just trying to pull up the definitions and come up with some of the questions that popped into my mind on that one when I was trying to look at those things. And I don't know, Becky or Nigel, if you've got comments on that. Or anyone else, for that matter. It doesn't look like it. Okay, so basically I'm saying we've got an equitable in this part, and yet there is an equitable in another part, and are they related? And my question is, are they related in the sense we're going to try and interpret it in this part? So given there's no questions or comments, I'll take it that this question is okay and that we're going to have to decide that to see if it's useful in our interpretation of that. I'll get to you in a sec, Nigel. Is it about the previous point or is it about honest?
It's about honest.
Okay. So I couldn't come up with too much about honest, and I just put in versus criminal and illegal, question mark, and I'm looking for input, ladies and gentlemen. Nigel.
I think we're over-interpreting here.
Okay.
I think we don't need to even address the meaning of the word honest or how it relates. I think it's a bit of stylistic repetition. I think what the intent and the purpose and even the literal words of the expression is that one should be equitable in the sense of non-discrimination, non-arbitrariness and so on. The question of honesty is, it's just all tied up with that. I don't think we need to... It's obvious that that dishonesty contravenes the standards of being equitable, and I don't think we need to look at that.
I have no problem with this. I'm just going through them series atoms, and I'd like for us to, as a group, to come to an understanding on those things.
And I have no problem with you having no problem with it.
Thank you. No, but I'm just...
Or even taking that approach, which is fine, but
yeah,
that's my view.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through the approach and bring out the comments, and if we're all okay with that point of view, that's great. We don't have to go into honest any more than that. Becky, do you have a comment on that?
No, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so what I'm taking away, unless there are other comments on honest, is that really it doesn't need interpretation because it's sort of a qualifier as it applies to all the other things.
That sounds reasonable to me, Benny.
Okay, so that would put 5233.123 to bed. 5233.124, competent, being able to meet the other requirements, including 3.5, question mark? What is doing a competent job mean? Because we've got the word that is very related to what we're going to be talking about in 3.5. Thoughts, comments? Nigel?
I think we use the literal approach. It means not screwing up.
Okay. Any other comments, thoughts? So, I don't have anything else, so just for the record, Nigel's point is...
Martin has his hand raised.
Sorry, I didn't see that when I started speaking. Martin?
I think the other way that you can interpret the word competence is professional. In other words, doing a job in a proper and business-like manner rather than just necessarily screwing up. So somebody who is completely not organized, doesn't manage to keep records, might be able to technically keep the machine going, but... I would question whether that is actually doing a competent job.
Well, I'd agree with Martin, but I define what he's just said as screwing up.
This being said,
okay.
If I can just try this here, I don't think we're going to write not screw up in our document, and I sort of like what Martin said. Would that work for you, Nigel?
If I could remember what it was, it probably would. It sounded good.
Proper and business-like manner.
It's more than that, though. It's doing it in accordance with professional standard, reasonably expected professional standards.
And in fact, professional was the word that I initially used and then qualified to try and explain what I meant by it.
I could actually dig a little bit deeper into this, taking Martin's point. It's the standard of the reasonable registry operator.
All right, so what I'm hearing, Nigel, is that pursuant to Martin's point, you're going to take on to do a little digging and propose a text for competent after my question in 5233-1241.
Actually, if our medical friend was here, I would he would probably quote exactly what I'm thinking about. It's the Bolitho standard.
Yes, and Eberhardt has some interesting and good words on these things because of his professional obligations, and I'm sure that you'll be able to contact him on that when you work on coming up with words?
Actually, I don't need to. I just need to get the case off the shelf. It's called the Bolitho case.
Okay. So, regardless where you get
it... So Martin's right, in other words.
Pardon me?
Martin's right.
Oh, well, we've heard it here. Okay.
Again.
Bernie doesn't need to be right. Bernie just needs some words. So.
Bernie will get some words. I'll run,
Okay.
I'll run them by Martin as well if you want, but I know where to go get them. You'll get them later.
Okay, thank you. Is that okay for you, Martin?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Thank you, sir. All right, so that would cover off competence. That takes us to section 5233-2. And I will bring up the notes that I have on that before we get into it. Because I know I wrote some big notes on this, or I should say lengthy notes. All right, here's what is in the document, which doesn't show up on the screen. Unfortunately, but you've had a copy of it. I believe it's there. Following the discussion on this, and this is about 5233-2, we need to define exactly what operates the domain name system means. Bill Semich maintains that this refers to more than just the ccTLD, but the entire Internet DNS in a country or territory. Becky and Nigel are proposing that the interpretation is operate the country's DNS system. That's what we had, and then there were some definitions that I had in there, and somehow the DNS actually slipped in there. It was not in the Oxford Dictionary. I apologize for that on the cut and paste, but we ended up agreeing to keep one to colon and section four, which operate from the Oxford Dictionary of a person, control the functioning of, bracket, a machine, process, or system. And under four was no object of an organization be managed and run in a specified way, colon, neither company had operated within the terms of its charter. That's where we are with 5233-2, operate the country's DNS system.
Martin has his hand up. Martin.
Yeah, I was just getting there. Martin, over to you.
Thanks. I'm not sure about the second definition there. When we discussed this last time, we noted that there were two definitions in which the object to the verb operate. You've used one of them, but the other one is one that doesn't take an object. And therefore, I don't think it's the one we specifically referred to. I haven't got the earlier document in front of me, so I can't actually check to see what was the definition that we missed, that was got missed, that we thought was actually relevant in this case.
I can dig it up, but according to my notes, those were the two, with object and without object.
Okay, I'm gonna duck out now, guys. Sorry, I have to run. I don't see we need the second object, the second definition though, because it takes an object in the quoted text. But anyway, I'll see you guys next time.
All right, Nigel.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bernie, I think both Martin and Nigel were indicating the with object definition was appropriate and the no object was not appropriate. So I think that's probably for the purposes of the definition of what we're trying to do here. Just leaving one is probably appropriate.
If that's what's being asked, then I'm fine. As I said, I'm putting these things...
Yeah, that's what I understood.
Yeah, and I think that's where it was getting to. So, but I see Martin and Patricio with hands raised, so perhaps we can cover it off with Martin first and then Patricio. Martin.
My apologies, I haven't lowered my hand.
Oh, okay. Patricio.
I agree that we only need the first meaning of object meaning in the sense of control the functioning of the DNS, but it seems to me that sentence operates the domain name system in that country somehow it sets up too wide a goal. I think that the intention was to say operate the domain name system for that ccTLD, because the whole of the DNS in a country may be something very large and very much beyond the control of the ccTLD manager. I mean, it includes the resolvers to begin with, the operation of the resolvers. There's no way we can control that. And if there are other TLDs operating in the country, say now with all the new TLDs coming, those also are going to be outside the control of the ccTLD manager. So I really think that when saying in that country, there was this notion that that really meant the ccTLD for that country or territory.
Patricio, I'm absolutely in agreement with you on this, I see Martin's got a tick as well. So I think at this point we're defining operates, and then the issue about the domain name system in the country requires the resolution that we broadly determine that to mean the operating the ccTLD. If we could attack wording on that basis, Bernie. And Bernie, I think by consensus we can delete the no object definition of operates.
Yes, I've already taken that on, and I can work on some wording as per the last part of the conversation.
Cool.
Thank you, Patricia. Anything else before we leave the scenic 52332? I see nothing, I hear nothing. Shall I move on, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
All right. Uh, 5233 has not changed, and everyone has been okay with it up to now, and I will just continue pass on to 5233.4, where we've got a lot of new text. Now, I know there was a note with this, so I will go there in my other document. 5233.4, here we go. There is still no general agreement on the possible interpretation of this point. The new text generated by Becky and Nigel and accepted at the 24 May meeting is the first paragraph in blue, I believe. So let's go to that. The key element with respect to a ccTLD that is not otherwise covered in other points is, quote, the administrative contact must reside in the country involved, close quote. It establishes a clear intention from RFC 1591 that there be local, in-country, or territory associated with the ccTLD, close bracket, presence. Did I get that right, Becky?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there questions and comments on that paragraph? Okay, I don't see anything else. I have some more notes. Yes, there was the Nigel point. Nigel Roberts made the point that we should have a clarification note that this may not strictly apply within the EU. Martin contested this point. There was no agreement, and as such, I have not included anything. And I don't know if that is still an ongoing discussion between the parties. I am uncertain if Becky had a point of view on this.
I guess, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the EU internal market rules may have some effect on whether those provisions are enforceable under the law of a particular country, but I don't know why it would affect what the IANA rules are.
Fair enough. Thank you, ma'am. I just wanted to give the other participants some reference to your usual wisdom in these matters. All right.
In other words, I mean, it definitely could be an issue about whether you could get an EU court to enforce it, but
understood.
You know, that could be right, but I don't believe that there was an internal market when 1591 was written.
That is correct. All right. So if there's nothing else on that paragraph, I'll move on to the next one. The next few paragraphs, I tried a new approach to, after our conversation last week. So this is not agreed to stuff. This is as per the request from the chair to come up with some new text to keep stimulating the issue so maybe we can converge on this. And so I've taken it to this point. Note, the current application of this policy by the IANA contractor lacks formalism, clarity, and transparency. One of the only relevant reference documents from IANA, understanding the CCTLD delegation redelegation procedure 2007, does not mention the AC residency requirement. Additionally, IANA admits to having unpublished guidelines, and that's a question mark, and maybe Kim can correct me on that, regarding the use of the role accounts for administrative contact and validating the requirement for residency with those. But I believe that at our last meeting when Kim spoke up, he mentioned that they've got some internal procedures, but I could not find them on the web. Although there is no policy requirement in RFC 1591 that the AC name be published, there is a general expectation the IANA contractor properly document and post key procedures relating to the application of policy. As such, the FOI working group would expect that the IANA contractor would publish its procedures regarding the application of this policy requirement, and that this would clearly cover individuals, other legal entities, and role accounts. So, that's where I've taken this. I don't know if it's useful. Seemed to bring together some of the points we were talking about at our last meeting, and I'll be glad to take comments and questions.
And Martin has his hand raised, so Martin.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, I actually have a bit of a difficulty understanding the reason for the note of the second paragraph. The fact that IANA contractor doesn't have particularly, or hasn't got any track record of enforcing something, doesn't necessarily mean that that should be a guidance for our interpretation of the policy. And I'm actually wondering whether that bit there starts becoming essentially a misleading statement in getting us to the point where you then lead to a suggestion that it would then be up to IANA to define its guidelines and publish its guidelines, rather than here, I think, something that is primarily a policy statement that there should be an administrative contact resident in the country. The second point I'd like to make, though, is associated with, actually for quite a number of CCTLDs, a small number, but certainly a number of them, nobody actually lives inside the territory, and enforcing a requirement that some poor administrative contact has to might be pushing things just a little bit too far. So perhaps there does have to be a footnote of consideration that in some cases that would be impractical. But I think by and large my main concern is about that note and the implications of including it in the way you have.
Okay, Martin, can I was trying to listen and write at the same time, so I may have missed part of it. What do you think it should say? You know, if it's getting people to comment, then as far as I'm concerned, the text is doing its job. I'm not married to it. I just want to use it to get people's views. And I think I missed what your end game on this one is.
My end game is to avoid having a direction of movement that is associated with this becoming a process point rather than a policy issue, and therefore really the note that is there, while it might be factually true, you know, it would not be the only place where IANA had not been paying attention to the terms of RFC 1591, and therefore one of the main reasons why it was decided that the FOI working group needed to be set up.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, and I think I understand where Bernie is coming from on this, but perhaps that whole note has to be struck out and potentially replaced with a comment along the lines that IANA may not be able to, or there may be circumstances which in which the administration contact may not be able to reside in country, or a note to that effect, as opposed to the sort of the process-driven comment as it currently stands. Is that where you're going with this, Martin?
Yes, it, I think that meets my concern in, for both my points. That it avoids it being a process point, but it actually notes that there might be process reasons why you allow there to be no local residents.
Okay, thanks, Martin. And did that help, Benny?
Well, as I said, I really don't have a problem with what's being said. So if it's comfortable for everyone, and I see Stephen concurred with it, and Danielle, this is all very complicated. I believe the original IRC 1591 was to put an AC under the country's jurisdiction, not really them being physically present there. Okay, so there we've got another comment. So along those lines, I don't have a problem. My issue is the following relative to where we started out with the DRD and where we are with the FOI working group. There was, I believe, a fundamental expectation that if there are policy statements, that there should be published process points for them. And that's all I was trying to raise through that note. I was not intending for that note to be kept in the final document at all, but I just wanted to bring it up. And I, to my understanding at least, you know, there should be some mention of that, because that is one of the fundamental expectations from this group, as far as I understand it anyways, not to try and force anything on the contractor or anything else. But if there is interpretation and guidelines, then certainly they have to be cleared up.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Benny. Well, I think, let's work on a different set of words. As a note there, and continue.
Thank you, sir. All right, where are we next? I will go to my other document for the version of that document, if you'll wait for me for a sec. And that takes us to 523352, and I will... All right, so this is under Section 5233.5. The designated authorities are trustees.
But before we get there...
Yes, sir.
Yes, sorry to interrupt, but you've just gone straight past a bit that's in the text you've marked with yellow highlight of the drafting notes. That seems to me to be a fairly substantial issue linked to things we've discussed earlier. But I actually wondered whether there was consensus or not on that particular point.
I was not trying to avoid it. I was going to reconsider it as part of what's been asked for the text right now, but given you bringing it up, I'll be glad to take.
I'm fine with that, just as long as we don't forget it completely.
Okay, but while we're on it, do you think that's a valid question, or do you think that should be struck? I guess is my point for you, Martin.
I think it is a very valid question.
All right. Thank you, sir. Are there any other comments on that? Okay. So, thank you. There's been a bunch of great input on this, and right now we've got Martin saying the question was a very good question. Probably we should consider it as part of our interpretation, and we'll get back to it and see if it stands the test of time. So, are we good to move on to 52.33.5?
Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. So, as we were, the tricky one. The designated authorities are trustees for the delegated domain and have a duty to serve the community. The designated manager is the trustee of the top-level domain for both the nation, in the case of a country code, and the global internet community. Now, 52.33.51 was okay, because that is what we agreed to in an earlier document. The term trustee, with the help of Becky, was defined and agreed to, so I don't think there's a lot of argument on 52.33.51. On 52, the manager, there was something that I drafted just to try and get some traction on this. The manager must provide mechanisms to allow for registrants and significant interest parties to provide input. And that caused concern from the last time around. I have from the notes, based on the transcript, that this is, Nigel considered this new policy and should be struck. Martin, how else can the manager understand how to serve the community if there is no communication mechanism with the community of the adoring customers? Heath, maybe we could be phrased as a common practice is. And Bill Semich, serving the community is not about the CCTLD, but rather about the DNS in general for the country or territory. To spell out what this means. So I took that on point 52, there was no consensus, and that this is still open, although Keith did have a suggestion of a common practice which could be put in as a note, I guess, but I don't know if that would satisfy Bill and Nigel, given the points they have raised, and given neither one of them are here, I don't think we can make a decision either way since they can't represent or talk to this. But are there other questions or comments on that point? Okay.
Don't appear to be, Bernie. So I think let's tag this as a topic for Prague, hopefully both Bill and Nigel attending Prague, and we could give it some fairly solid time there.
Yes, sir. Noted. That will take us to 52.33.53. From the notes, Nigel and Becky agreed on has to include version of this text. Being a trustee may include other things. New text attempts to capture this consensus. So, I'm going to read it and we'll see if I've actually done a decent job of this by talking to Becky. One should interpret being a trustee for the global internet community as having to include ensuring the security and stability of the CCTLD as part of the global internet and working with IANA, the IANA contract manager, to ensure this. Becky, did I get this as per your suggestion? Did I get this correctly according to your suggestion?
I just want to say, ensuring the security and stability, of the CCTLD, yeah, that's fine. That works.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there other comments or questions on
5233-53? Just an observation, I think, Bernie. I'm struggling with the wording in that form. It doesn't appeal to me particularly. And I wonder... I wonder why it was changed, why this was the choice of words saying one should interpret. I would have thought how it was originally written was more appropriate.
If I remember correctly, part of the discussion was around the fact that the way it was originally presented did not convey enough of a sense that it had to include this and more. And so we were, I guess Nigel and Becky came up with this wording or suggestions around this, and I tried to interpret it to cover that. So.
Okay. Not relaxed. I see Martin has his hand raised, but just as a proposal, I think all of the whole section of 5.2.3.3.5 could be taken aside and be a big discussion topic for Prague. But however, Martin may have a way around. Martin.
No, I don't think I have a way around at all, Keith. Like you, I have problems with the wording, but I think for precisely opposite reasons, in that the original comment that it may include other things, whereas in fact the text, the way it is written here, makes it sound like it might, but the minimum case is this, and therefore if you meet this, then you've ticked the box, and that would be an end to it. So I actually feel a bit uncomfortable about the apparent limitation in wording in the way it appears here. But certainly I think Keith's point that here is a big enough issue for us probably to be best done face-to-face is a good idea.
Thanks, Martin. My own personal view on this aspect of 1591 is more that the comment of the designated manager being the trustee for both the country and the global internet community is more the question of balance and balancing the obligations to the DNS globally and to satisfying the local community. So it's more the issue of balance than a specific obligation to act one way or another. So anyway, Bernie, I think can we take all of 5.2.3.3.5 as a discussion topic for Prague and see if we can deal with it in a slightly different way.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
As stated before, and I'll restate it again, this is just about getting people talking about these things.
Excellent. And just noting Eberhard has joined the call.
Ah, welcome, Eberhard.
And please continue, Benny.
Actually, it's Bill.
Bill.
Bill's imitating Eberhard. No, I see.
How I won't even try a German swear.
Okay, please continue, Benny.
52336 is where we are now, and I will go to my other document to read the notes. And that's where we stopped last time. So this is exactly where we left off, so there are no more notes. From the meeting previous to the last ones, we had struck most of the stuff under 5236, so that's what you see there. And the only thing that got left out of all of that was the bottom. It would seem reasonable to interpret this requirement in the current context as the manager must publish its willing to take its registration policies on the internet for anyone to consult minimally in all the official languages of the country or territory and apply these policies in an impartial manner is what we had ended up with several weeks ago. Eberhardt, you've got your hand up, if it's Eberhardt. Oh, went away on my screen. So,
the hand's raised again, so.
Okay.
Could you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Okay, now I just wanted to check my setup. Thank you.
All right, seems to be working, Eberhardt. Welcome. So we got Bill and Eberhardt. Excellent. Twofer. So, as I was saying, that's all we kept out of that whole crunch of text from 5233.6. Any questions, comments, updates? Okay, so if we're okay, sir, I'll move on to 5524.
Yes, please.
Okay. We're back to that, to our definitions for substantial misbehavior and them together. At the last time we actually went through this, which was in our original first complete pass of the document, we had agreed to bring down the structure of the definition. Considerable, important, size, worth, strongly built, important in material or social terms. Concerning the essentials of something, there was substantial agreement. And we had struck some part down there relative to three. Misbehavior, I believe we had kept the action of misbehaving, bad behavior, and misbehave the verb of a person, especially of a child, fails to conduct oneself in an acceptable manner to all. Misbehavior would then considered be a failure to meet some of the non-DNS requirements. That's old wording that has been corrected. I apologize for that. And then there was question about substantial misbehavior. There's been no real change to that text because there was no real agreement the last time. What I seem to remember is that there was certainly a bunch of disagreement about putting it this way, and I'll be glad to take on some new text or ideas relative to this. And Becky, would you have some thoughts for me on substantial misbehavior? You're going to take advantage of it while I've got you on the line.
So I think that the misbehavior goes back, you know, that misbehavior has to go back to the list of items at the top of that section in 1591. So the obligation that you have to read it back as the, going back to the top of that, of able to carry out the necessary responsibilities and the ability to do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. And so that the misbehavior is, you know, incompetence and an absence of all of those other things, including the stability and security of the CTLD as part of the global internet.
Okay, so what I'm getting from you for misbehavior, and not substantial misbehavior, but just misbehavior, is that it relates to all the points we've finished talking about, some of which we haven't finished agreeing on.
Right.
Okay. So misbehavior would be a manager acting in a way that contravenes those points.
Right. And I think that the construction that you have here about sort of the, you know, inability or unwillingness to correct significant issues is right, is correct. And then, of course, you know, any sort of regular course of activity that that does involve a failure to perform the DNS-specific requirements.
And those get covered in 3.5 in very specific terms. Here we're trying to deal with almost the stuff. The original approach we had was to try to deal with all the things that are not 3.5 in one chunk, which is the one we've been talking about, and then try to deal with 3.5 as another chunk. But as Nigel pointed out, I believe, when we went through this the first time, failing to be responsible relative to your DNS responsibilities is certainly substantial misbehavior, and that whole notion which has to be correct in there. And I think the first part of 5261 is probably correct, and the second part needs to be adjusted. Is that the way you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments or thoughts on that?
Just a minor comment, Bernie. I think 5.2.6.1, substantial misbehavior, inability or unwillingness. There may be instances where the CCTLD manager is or has the inability to correct something, for example, under a constant denial of service attack, may not be able to fix, and nor would any other CCTLD manager. So it's more about the unwillingness than the inability, I think. And I note Bill's agreeing with me on that point.
I have to note that Bill had brought up that specific point when we went through that originally.
Could you give us an example? I mean, I think I understand what you're talking about, but...
Well, okay. We operate the .nz domain namespace. We do it to the best of our ability, and someone from Namibia decides to attack New Zealand amounts a denial of service attack just against .nz, which essentially brings the .nz domain name down and renders it inoperable or unresolvable. IANA could say, well, you're misbehaving and you're showing an inability to remedy your misbehavior because the DNS isn't available. But the reason for that is outside...
Yeah.
I
agree. This sort of goes back to something that I was flailing around with a little bit earlier, where we were talking about ensuring the stability and security. I mean, I think it's more like taking reasonable steps to do that, rather than having some flat out nuanced, uncaveated obligation, because you're right, you could be, you know, running the best operation around, and if there's a real bad guy out there who wants to take you down, it shouldn't be a cause for termination or revocation.
Yeah, I don't think that that clause loses anything by striking out the words inability or, because it's the unwillingness is the key part. However, Martin has his hand raised and may have a point of clarification on this too. So, Martin.
Thanks, Keith. I think the case of you come under a denial of service attack and you've not been able to stay up, I'd find it difficult to classify that as being an example of substantial misbehavior on behalf of the operator. But I would also have concerns about striking the word inability in the meaning of the word as essentially the incompetence of the operator. And I suppose the example I might use is that if every week the registry goes down and the manager fails to put in the investments necessary to make his system more robust, then that might be where the failure to respond to a denial of service attack could be considered as being substantial misbehavior. You know, it's happening regularly, and the organization running it is unable to deal with it because they are refusing to put in the investment necessary that might be seen as being good practice in the industry. So I would be a little bit nervous about just striking the word inability just because you know, happenstance might come into play there.
Okay. Perhaps using the word incompetence or unwillingness by the incumbent manager might be more appropriate then. I see...
More than happy with that.
Okay. Eberhard has his hand raised. So, Eberhard.
No, what Martin just said is not inability, it's clearly unwillingness. I think you're right, Keith, inability or has to go out.
Okay.
You, for example, if you know the denial of service attack from Namibia to New Zealand originates from the location of the letter Z on the keypad, which is very close to the letter A. It's only the Germans where that is swapped with the Y don't know that. But if a small CCTLD is unable to do something, that doesn't mean they can be revoked. It must be if they are unwilling to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
If they are unable and they don't have the resources, then they must be helped. Let's say, for example, Southern Sudan comes up. They have no resources whatsoever, so they will do whatever they can within their means. And if something needs to be done, which they cannot do, they need assistance. You can't just redelegate it because they're poor. You can't. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay. So I see Bill has his hand raised. So Bill.
Yeah. Actually, I don't agree that we should. It's really a complicated to use fair and equal judgment as to whether some inability is misbehavior and some inability is circumstantial. For example, island nations having their satellite system blown out by a tsunami. That is an inability. On the other hand, we're looking at a section that we're saying is to correct significant issues with respect to the non-DNS requirements. So there are other potential inabilities here that relate to fair and equal behavior, treatment, availability on the internet, all of which can exist, you know, can stop existing for any number of reasons, starting with the government making certain rules related to unequal treatment. For example, relatives of a ruling junta may want to control certain sections of the domain name system and charge more or limit access to the email system may be down, as I said, for technical reasons that that the administrator has no control over. For example, the shutdown of the internet by the government. So I think because of the wide variation of potential definitions of the use of the word inability, from everything from something bad to something purely innocent, clearly indicates we shouldn't use the word.
Sir, if I can get in once there's a slot.
Yeah, Benny, the floor's yours.
Thank you. I think they're good comments, and I'm this ambivalence about inability after listening to Bill has crystallized in my mind. What I was trying to with inability is for things that are directly under the control of the manager. Obviously, most of the examples that have been given are beyond the control of the manager. We've mentioned some things which are, you know, denial of service attacks, acts of God with tsunamis and things like that. And this is not at all where I was going. I agree with Bill and Eberhardt that trying to apply it in that way is wrong and doesn't make any sense. Yes, I agree. However, I believe my problem is unwillingness, to my mind, doesn't cover it all. So if we're talking about inability for things that are under the control of the manager, then that can be a basis for what we're talking about.
Well, I think,
secondly, I've just got three things. The second thing is the non-DNS requirements. I don't know when Bill came on, but we're saying we're rewriting the second part of that document. The third thing is in several of the cases when people were talking about this statement, they're making the jump to automatic revocation if there is substantial misbehavior. And I think, as we have seen, when we start talking about revocation, it's not a one-step process, i.e., there is substantial misbehavior. IANA doesn't have a choice but to revoke. That is certainly not the case, and that is not what's written there. So I think, in fairness, we have to consider that a finding of substantial misbehavior should not be squarely equated with immediate revocation, because we've written it above, and we're going to go through it again in the next section. There is a requirement from IANA, if there is a finding of significant misbehavior, to do everything in its power, because, as we have stated at the beginning of this section, revocation is a last resort option. Everything else must be considered done and tried before, even if there is a finding of substantial misbehavior. I finish ranting now. Back over to you, sir.
Okay, thanks. I still have an issue with the word inability in that sense, because it's because of its you know, inability can convey either your own lack of capability or someone else making you unable to do something. On that basis, I think there was a bit of consensus coming around that unwillingness on its own isn't enough, but incompetence or unwillingness by the incumbent manager seem to cover reasonably all circumstances. So, and that, you know, incompetence meaning specifically that you lack the competence yourself rather than having the inability.
I'm okay with incompetence, by the way.
Yeah, Martin's got a tick to that, just by the way. And Eberhard has his hand raised. So, Eberhard.
Okay, if we can add a little bit an adjective to incompetence, I would be also fine with that.
Okay.
As in significant?
Eberhard?
What the point is, behaving is an act. So misbehaving is an act. Inability means you're not acting for whatever reason. Maybe you can't act. It's beyond your control. So the idea is that we make it clear that there must be an act on the part of the incumbent who basically tells us that we can fornicate ourselves. Yeah, he don't care. If he is unable to do so because somebody is standing with a gun to his head, that's not what we want.
Horton agreed, but the question, Eberhard, was from what we understood your earlier statement to be, to add an adjective to incompetence, or at least that's what we understood your statement to be. And what I had proposed was to replace inability with significant incompetence.
Yeah, I think that works. Let's try that, and but let's revisit on our next discussion.
Okay.
Eberhard's agreeing with that. So.
Excellent. All right. Well, I didn't even think we'd get to there.
Okay. So please continue, Bernie.
Thank you. 552.62, just as a follow-on to that, and there will be new wording in 5261, the IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures for determining if the manager of a CCTLD is substantially misbehaving based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO, as it will be responsible for monitoring these. Questions, thoughts, and comments on 5262? Okay, I don't see anything on my screen. Shall we carry on, sir?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, please.
Thank you. All right. No comments there. All right, process for revocation, 527. 5271. The FOI working group believes it is consistent with the intent of RSC 1591 to state that revocation should be a last resort option for the IANA contractor. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any substantial issues with non-DNS requirements. Again, that non-DNS language is going to go away with the requirements of RFC 1591. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor can reasonably demonstrate that the manager is incapable, and again, that comes back to the discussion we've just had, so yes, let's not do that. Is significantly incompetent or unwilling to resolve the clearly identified and documented issues in an appropriate time frame. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and identify a suitable replacement. And before anyone jumps up and says it, so this is the original text. And certainly on the last part, we'll continue to resolve names and identify a suitable replacement. I will step in for Nigel here, who's absent, who had a big problem with that because he read that to mean that it is IANA that is identifying the replacements. That was not the intent of the text. So, yes, that whole thing has got several edits coming to it now that we've gotten past 526, which would mean that the last part of this should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD would continue to resolve names, I think was correct. and instead of and identify a suitable replacement, there has to be new language in there that clearly makes certain that we're not talking about IANA picking a new contractor. So those are my words on 5271. With all those caveats, I don't know if people have got more comments or questions.
Benny, I think people would. I think we would generally have a level of support for the spirit of what's being said. So I think it's probably better at this stage to leave a redraft to you and then get to picking that redraft.
I think that's a really good idea too, because that paragraph will change considerably from the input we've gotten at this point.
But and there's no hands up, so I think let's take that approach.
Excellent. 5272. The FOI working group believes that it is consistent with RFC 1591 to allow a manager the right to appeal a notice of revocation by the IANA contractor to an independent body. This was, I believe, did not raise any flags the last time we went through this. Are there any questions or comments?
Just noting a tick from Bill Semich, and no other comments.
Okay. Oh, Eberhardt.
I'm wondering what kind of an independent body could that be and who selects it? Another can of worms.
Possibly. I think one of the things we've got here is to walk that line that we've identified several times before between interpreting the policy and getting into developing procedures. I think that given the general things that are going on within ICANN for right to appeal to an independent body, if Nigel were here, he'd say there is probably a fair amount of commercial law to identify what this would mean. But we don't have to listen to me because we happen to have someone that's pretty good at this stuff. So, Becky, would you have a comment on that relative to Eberhardt's point?
Well, I mean, I think that there is a question about sort of what court or what body you could get into right now, but I certainly would also agree that, you know, this is, it's not overstepping our bounds to say that it's consistent with 1591 to say that somebody should have that ability. And there are certainly many calls on ICANN to provide meaningful access to that kind of independent review. But I mean, I think right now, Eberhardt, the notion would be what, you know, what court has jurisdiction over a dispute between a CC operator and IANA.
Good point, Becky. But I think also in the back of Bernie's mind and drafting this particular bit of text is the RFC 1591 issue that says the Internet DNS Names Review Board, a committee established by the IANA, will act as a review panel for cases in which the parties cannot reach agreement among themselves. And whether or not that concept of an appointed review panel is part of this, I don't know. But however, that would not be a binding decision as a court decision would be. So, Becky, what's your feelings on that?
Yeah, and I think that the 1591 clearly does contemplate that there would be some place to appeal and review that. The fact that it hasn't been implemented doesn't take away from the original spirit there.
No, but I think the ICANN board essentially have taken over that role in the absence of any other viable alternative being available. So that's why the ICANN board considers issues relating to delegations and redelegations of CCTLDs. However,
That's interesting. I mean, maybe, but it would be hard to argue that IANA and ICANN board are independent of each other.
Correct. But the IANA contract does not empower the ICANN board to make decisions over delegations and redelegations necessarily. So anyway, Abahat has his hand raised for some time. So Abahat.
Everything is court reviewable, so that doesn't mean it. This DNS review board or whatever it's called never got established, and it would not be fitting into the landscape anymore because IANA would establish a board whose decision would be final. You can forget about that. As I said, I think this language needs much more thought and much more revision. Of course, it is quite clear that an appeal should be done and should be possible. But if we mention it, we must also say what this could mean. It is clearly not the ICANN board. I totally disagree with that the ICANN board has even a role to play with, but that's a separate issue.
Well, yeah, I was just raising the question of the legitimacy of the ICANN board in the decisions that it makes now, but it is by default making the decisions, and nobody's contesting them in any court. So it's given itself the authority and is acting, and so far no one's been able to find a methodology around that. However, I think we're getting a little bit away from the topic, but nonetheless, your hand is raised, so do you have something to add?
The fact that nobody has so far contested it means nothing. We do know how three CCTADs in particular have been handled against the wishes of the incumbent, and whether that incumbent was able or willing, as we discussed substantially now, to do something about it, doesn't make it right. So we're getting really a little bit away from the things we should do here, but we should not really try to venture into very dangerous territory.
Sure. Anyway, I think bringing us back on topic, I don't know if there was any strenuous objection to this idea of a right of appeal to an independent body. And so, Bernie, please continue.
Yeah, I didn't take it as an objection. I took it as there were concerns to make sure we understand what that means properly, and I think I can take that on to see if we can do something with that.
Cool.
5273, the IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures necessary for the revocation of the delegation of a CCTLD based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO as it will be responsible for monitoring these. So that's just the standard follow-on which we've used in the previous point also. And I'll be glad to take comments or questions.
It doesn't appear to be any, Penny.
I think we've done incredibly well, sir. I'm wondering if, from the point of view of the revocation document, we shouldn't stop it here, because after this point we're getting into a whole new section, which is 3.5, and there's only 15 minutes left, so up to you.
Bernie, I wonder if we could perhaps carry on for another 10 minutes. There is no one from IANA Sorry, I know one from GEC on the call, so the main topic that we had on the agenda to cover required the GEC's discussion, and with Bart not on the call to discuss the SIP, the stage, the SIP document. That we don't have any other agenda items really to cover today. So I think if we could perhaps just have a quick look through the rest for the next 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Good use of our
Item
time.
3, revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, bracket CCTLD, quoting 531, in cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager, end quote. I don't think there should be any problems with that, as it's lifted directly from RFC 1591. 532, persistent problems with the proper operation of the CCTLD. What does that mean? 5321, the technical operation of the CCTLD has greatly evolved from the time of publication of RFC 1591, along with the use of the Internet, and although still a specialized field, is standard knowledge for the networking specialist and is supported by a large volume of easily accessible documentation and applications. In addition to this, and there's some text that was struck there, there are a number of service providers which specialize in performing these services under contract for CCTLD managers. So basically just an introduction to persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, that this is no longer magic, but just rather a common operation, albeit a very specialized one. Questions and comments on that? 5321. Okay. 5322. The IANA contractor has not published its expectations as far as what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, or what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. So basically, again, just a fact. I scoured the stuff. I don't think Kim had an argument with that. It's just not there. Questions, thoughts, or comments? Martin?
There was a comment on that particular paragraph that you might want to read to people.
Okay. I forgot to go back to my document. Thank you, Martin. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Bill Sennett suggested the addition of consistent with relevant RFCs, which was strongly discouraged by YAP Akraha. So that was the comment that came, or the comment that came with 5322, and now I remember that discussion. Thank you very much, Martin. So Bill was talking about, the source of his concern was that the expectations as far as what constitutes doing a satisfactory job, he wanted to tie that back to something as opposed to just leave it hanging like that. He had suggested the RFCs are specialists in this area. Yap sort of came back and said he thought that wasn't a very good idea. So I see a hand up. Bill.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Yap's concerns. I share them, in fact. And I think what we need to do is look at this and consider what we are doing here is trying to develop policy. And by not at least specifying something, some basis for this developed the document that IANA is developing, it could be anything. And so, I mean, if we want to do a PDP, that would be fine. If we want to talk about using any reference to current best practices documents or something, I think we need to do something to put a circle around this and not just allow the creation of any group of various and assorted requirements or whatever. Maybe we want to refer to the stability and whatever it is group there, or I don't know. I know it's difficult tying this to something that already exists that may change. On the other hand, by not tying it to something, this has a definite probability of becoming anything down the road.
I think I understand your concern. I think Yap's concern was right. So maybe what we were, the circle we were trying to draw around it with the RFCs was not a satisfactory idea. But I think there are other ways of looking at this, and I will take on to come up with some new text for Prague that we can beat up on, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chair.
That would be fantastic. Thanks, Benny. And please continue.
5323, IANA should develop documentation as to what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating DNS service for the domain, or what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, and undertake a public consultation on this. Basically, I guess it was starting to get to Bill's point, and I'll be reconsidering that text along with 5322. This documentation could then be used as a reference point when considering DNS-related issues with the managers of the CCTLDs. 5322, 5323, and 5324, as far as I'm concerned, are all part of the package and will be undergoing some major surgery before we get to Prague, if that's okay with everyone.
Excellent. Thanks, Benny.
Okay. 5333, definition of revocation. Okay, let me see if we've got some notes here as we're changing sections. The new top level is 5331. As noted in Section 3 of RFC 1591, quote, a new top level domain is usually created and its management delegated to a designated manager all at once. 5332, there's a note here. It was agreed that this point needed some work, and Becky would look at it. So, 5332 currently reads, this would seem to clearly indicate a separation between the creation and insertion of a CCTLD in the root and the granting of management responsibilities to a designated manager by the IANA contract manager. So, the thing that we ended up with the last time we went around this text was that 5332 was not acceptable as it was, and that Becky would have a look at it. And can we add that to your list, Becky?
Yes, please. Yes, add it to my list.
So I don't think it's worthy of discussion. I have not touched that text, and I believe Becky will be in a much better position to come up with something that people can chew on and will make more sense because of the sensitivities around this. Is that okay for everyone?
It seems to be.
Okay.
Yes, I know a couple of ticks. Yes.
And really, the sub-points depend on that, so I don't see the point of charging into 33, 34, or 35 because they're dependent on what we're going to do in 32. So I'm going to leave those at this point. Is that okay, sir?
Yes, thanks.
5534, process to revoke a delegation. Here we'll find some very similar text, but a little different because it's adapted to Section 3.5 of RFC 1591. The FOI working group also believes, 5341, sorry. The FOI working group also believes the intent of RFC 1591 is the revocation should be a last resort option for the IANA contract. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any persistent issues with the operation of the CCTLD. So there we've got the language adapted to the statements that are found in 3.5. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor can reasonably demonstrate that the manager is incapable or unwilling, and incapable and or unwilling harks back to our previous discussion on the use of incapable, and I understand that and will note that, to resolve the clearly identified and documented issues in an appropriate time frame. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve, and procedures are followed to identify a suitable replacement. I believe I have suggested that to answer Nigel's concern, which we discussed in the previous incarnation of that language. Again, because of the changes we've discussed in the earlier sections, there'll probably be significant surgery to this point. Again, we've got the right to appeal subject to... given everything is going to go under major surgery at this point, I believe we've sort of reached the end where we can be very productive versus the text that's there. And we've got 4 minutes left anyways, so I would say I think we can call it a day here.
Excellent. Thank you, Benny. Very, very timely point to come to the end of the document. Okay, I think we have reached the logical end of the document and the call, so I'll just ask if there's any other business. If not, then please remember and have in your diary our next meeting face-to-face in Prague at 1300 to 1600 local time in Prague, which is 1100 to 1400 UTC. So with that, I'll declare the meeting closed, and thank you all for your... I see Eberhard has his hand raised. So, last item, Eberhard.
Christina, can you send out the invitation as you usually do via the calendar system?
For the face-to-face meetings?
Yes.
We usually don't do that for face-to-face meetings because it's... so many things change at the last second, and we can't update the invitations as we go along, and it just becomes complicated.
Okay.
So thank you all for your participation. I think we've made substantial progress, and we've identified some areas that we can concentrate our efforts on in Prague, and so look forward to seeing as many of you as possible in the room on the Thursday in Prague. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.